We thought, but we have to keep the chairs here. I actually thought we should just, you know, like get a little group together and just like have a conversation, you know? Anyway, I don't know. I had a whole bunch of different thoughts going around in my mind the past couple of weeks, not just this past week. John made reference at the beginning of the service to the video that we watched on Wednesday night, the video, the teaching given by Vodi Bakum, and I did send that out to everybody on Thursday. I think it was on Thursday, because it was, you know, I've watched it 3-4 times. I get something different every time I listen to it, and it's caused me. As I was preparing for Bible study Wednesday night and rewatching it and then watching it Wednesday night, I thought of a lot of different things about, just a lot of thoughts about everything that he had to say. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to redo what he spoke. I could never do it justice. But I was also thinking about it in relation to the message that Pastor Dave gave. And I'm not going to try to summarize that either because I could not do that justice. They're probably, Vodi's is up on, you know, you should have that in your mailbox. Hopefully Pastor Dave's message is up on the website if you need to, so you can listen to that again. There was so much in both messages. But one of the things that, that again, it's not a new question I ask myself. But I think both, indirectly, both teachers spoke to the issue of our motivation for doing things. I'll start with Dave because that got me thinking about a lot of things. And he did a wonderful job of explaining the difference between a Babylonian mindset and a Zion mindset. The Babylonian mindset being the culture of the world, the Zion mindset being the culture of heaven. Oh, by the way, I don't have to make sure we're done by 12:30 because the parade doesn't start till 3. So so if I'm going longer than 12, then you know, don't keep looking at your watch and giving me this sign, okay? So, but I will. I'm not gonna take long. So, as I'm thinking about both of these mindsets, you know, they're very convicting because I have to determine. And I said this to Pastor Dave after the service. I said, you know, we would be dishonest with ourselves if we said, well, I don't suffer from a Babylonian mindset. And he agreed. He said, there is something of that to a degree in every one of us. And, you know, that mindset, and he talked about it in terms of capitalism, in terms of a consumer mindset, a consumer attitude. And so, you know, there's always a transaction that takes place when you're a consumer. It doesn't have to be something that you buy at the store. It can be going to the doctor. It can be going to a therapist, going, you know, different things we consume. And the transaction is what? We consume the goods in exchange for paying for them. And that I started thinking about that whole concept of capitalism. And the more I looked it up, the more I learned. It doesn't only promote this commercial idea, this transactional idea, but it also promotes a sense of competition And it also promotes self-absorption. So there's a lot more to it. And so I'm just going to hang there for a second, because it really made me think about my relationship with the Lord. How much of it is transactional? How much do I like expect from the Lord if I do this or if I do that? And listen, there are very subtle stages of this kind of transactional mindset. Maybe it's not like right out in the open and not real evident. And that's always what I ask for the Lord. You know, show me those hidden things that aren't evident. Those things that are subtle. And don't you know, the Lord started showing me in my life those subtle, transactional ideas I have in my relationship with the Lord. And the culture of Zion is purely relational. There's no transactions at all in that kind of a mindset. And it's real simple how we learn about the Zion mindset. It's all right in here. And it's just a matter of studying the Word of God. I want to give you an example. And I remember I was watching this movie and I thought, oh my gosh, that's an example of a Babylonian mindset, because this young man had this transactional idea about God. So this young man was very troubled, and he got himself into a whole lot of legal messes, and just very sad. It was a true story too, just very, very sad. But I noticed that there was this one woman in his life, an older lady, who was employed by the household where he lived. And every opportunity she had, she spoke to him about the Lord. She was a believer. And she explained to him that the only way out of his dilemma was to talk to Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus. So you could tell, I mean, the actor that, you know, portrayed this young man, excellent actor, because you could tell he was pondering these things. And don't you know, this lady takes a fall, and she has a brain hemorrhage, and she ultimately dies. And of course, this young man is devastated by this. And he goes to her funeral. And let me just tell you that he only has this one person ever speaking to him about the Lord, as close as you can tell in just watching this movie. So he goes to her funeral. And of course, the pastor speaks about her relationship with God. And there's all these pictures of her, and they're beautiful pictures of her smiling. And the pastor says, you know, we don't have any concern about where she is, because her faith in the Lord guaranteed her a place in heaven. So this young man comes up, and he's looking at her casket. And he says, not to himself, he says this out loud. He said, well, everything she said about Jesus didn't work for her, so why should I even bother? And it made me think about something. Okay, so in his mind, you see that he had a Babylonian mindset. It was a transaction. If you do this for God, he's going to make sure you never fall. He's going to make sure you never get sick. He's going to make sure you never have another problem. That's the transactional thing. And I actually was going to say something else about the young man. Now, I'm not sure how much interaction, you know, because you don't, in a movie, you don't see everything that happens every day. So, you know, I know what she said to him what was either recorded or heard, and that was in the movie. But then what I started thinking about is, what about us? Are there ways we convey to other people? All you have to do is accept Yeshua, accept Jesus into your life. And you'll be fine. Is there a way we convey that? Maybe those of you sitting here don't. I have to say the person that led me to the Lord never conveyed that. And in reading the scriptures, you sure understand. You sure understand. But for someone who doesn't know the scriptures and is just hearing this encouragement to, well, just ask Jesus, ask Yeshua into your life, as if that's the be-all, end-all. It is. It is, as long as you have a Zion mindset. If you have a mindset of the world and how things work in the world, well, that's not the way it works. It's not like, if you accept Yeshua, then all will be well. It really doesn't say that at all in Scripture. And it made me think of how I convey my faith to people. Have I ever given anyone the notion that a life of faith is smooth sailing until the Lord takes you home? I mean, it's a thought. You don't have to answer it, but it's a question that, you know, we might want to ask ourselves. And I remember, as soon as I heard that young boy say, well, this didn't work out so well for her, so why should I bother? I thought, whoa, that's the Babylonian mindset. Because his thought process was, this is a transactional relationship. And so, you know, I've pondered a lot about that. About this whole idea of, what is my motivation in doing a lot of the things that I do in my life? Whether it's, you know, making some soup for somebody who's sick, or, you know, whatever, doesn't matter. But is it so that God will love me more? Is it so that this person will like me more? They'll think I'm a good person, a good, you know. Thinking about others, you know, whatever. I mean, it really is another level of examination when we take things deeper and start thinking about exactly why we do things. One of the scriptures that Pastor Dave looked at, and I want to go there because it's in John 14. He used this, it's John 14:15. And he used this as an example. Yes. Did Yeshua imply? Okay, let's look at this. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So is Yeshua presenting this as some kind of a transactional deal? I don't think so. And I'll tell you why I don't think so. When I look at that word if, I don't see the word if. I see the word because. Because you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I don't think that a single feast of the Lord goes by when I talk about God's commands for each of the feasts. I don't think that I ever forget to say, we don't use this as a checklist. We don't come in here because we have to do all of these things to please the Lord in keeping his feast. We do this because we want to. And I like the way Pastor Dave said it. He said, we do this because we get to. We get to do this. Kind of the same idea. We get to do it. We want to do it. And I started thinking that that should really be the plumb line for me. This should be how I measure everything that I do. When I obey the Lord's commands, am I doing this because I love the Lord? Or is it somewhere in the back of my mind, and I have to say, I think a lot of my reasoning, a lot of my in the back of my mind kind of things when I think about if I do this, then God will love me more. I grew up in a religion that kind of taught you that. That, you know, when you sin, you go to confession and you say these prayers and everything's all better. I never learned until I was 30 years old that that's not how it works. That Yeshua paid the price for my forgiveness. And there's no prayers, like 10 of these prayers or 6 of these prayers, that are going to excuse what I did. It's about repentance. It is about asking for forgiveness. And in this scripture, John 14:15, the very next thing that Yeshua says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I don't think I saw this before this week, where Yeshua says, but you know him. How would they know the Spirit? Yeshua. He's simply saying, you already know him because it's me. And you are going to get my Spirit. And my Spirit will guide you. My Spirit will take you by the hand. And my Spirit will give you life. My Spirit will show you the way. And so in that respect, it sort of is a little bit of a, if you love me, you will obey my commands, and I will give you this. But look what we get. We get Holy Spirit. It's not like we get stuff. And it's not like we get our circumstances changed. But we get the helper who can reframe our circumstances. So it's like win-win. And it's all about, this is a Zion mindset. This is working through the old mindset, leaving it behind. And I love how Pastor Dave said this, and he brought us right to the scriptures where, okay, in part of the Old Testament, it talks about God being the one who led us out of Egypt, right? And that's what he was, in the Psalms, it's repeated over and over again, and you delivered us from the hand of our enemy in Egypt and all of this. And then he leads us to that scripture in Jeremiah, and he says, no longer will you be known by, you are the people that I led out of Egypt, but you will be known by, I am the God who led you out of Babylon, out of the north country. That's what it says literally, but out of the north country, out of Babylon. And I never saw that before. Like, there's a greater deliverance yet. Not just bondage to the old man, but, or bondage to sin, but then the deliverance from the old man, which takes a little bit longer, right? We're always working on that, deliverance from the old man. We're always working on that. And so I saw all of this in such a different way that, you know, because we have the Spirit of truth, we really are able to have victory every day. Every day. And it's not a matter of, it's not available to us. It's a matter of, we don't choose it. We don't choose it. We don't choose deliverance. Sometimes we're just happy in our misery. I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. Sometimes we are just happy in our misery. Tell me you don't know a believer that's happy in their misery. I hear you laughing over there. So, in light of what Pastor Dave taught, and in light of Vody Bachum's message, it just got me thinking about, all right, well, so where do I go from here? So now I've come to grips with all of this in my life, and I'm beginning to understand where those hidden, subtle little ways that I'm doing this transactional thing with the Lord, and I'm moving through that, then on the other side, what is it that God requires of me? And I almost hate to use the word require, because again, it sounds transactional. But what is my delight to do for the Lord instead of, yes, to, on our hard copy bulletin, we have the scripture from Micah. What does the Lord require of you? And walk humbly with your Lord. Yes, Micah 6:8. And then it got me thinking, like, is there more? Is there more? And I was looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I hope I can find it. You know, I don't have page numbers. Here it is. Ecclesiastes 12. 13 and 14. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified. It's a little wordy. Yes. I like the way it is translated in the Amplified Classic, because it says it all. And of course, King Solomon wrote this book towards the end of his life. And I remember when I was a brand new believer, I was very worried about King Solomon, because the pastor where I was attending church had told us about Solomon's life and all of the ways that he kind of messed up in life. And of course, I didn't know about King David. I didn't know that story yet. I learned that afterwards. But then King Solomon wrote this book, Ecclesiastes, and I sat under this pastor as he taught Ecclesiastes. And I remember going up to him after one of the chapters and saying, do you think that Solomon made it to heaven? I mean, what I know? You know, I'm like a really new believer. I'm really green. Still wet behind the ears, and I'm really concerned for King Solomon's destiny, his eternal destiny, because I just learned all these things that he did, and I thought, oh. And then I come to the end of Ecclesiastes. And then my heart was calm. Because here is what he wrote. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is after he talks about everything being chasing after the wind and vanity. And, you know, it's kind of a downer to read some of Ecclesiastes, but it's there for a purpose. It's there for a purpose. It's there to show you, you can look here for fulfillment or contentment. You can look here. You can look here. And guess what? You will never find it. You'll never find it. Because guess what? Is what King Solomon's saying. I did that search. And I'll tell you, the conclusion I came to, he says, all has been heard. The end of the matter is, fear God. In other words, revere and worship him, knowing that he is. And isn't it in Hebrews where it says about faith, that he is a rewarder of those who believe that, who diligently seek him and believe that he is, right? It, Hebrews 12, it's in there. Yeah, I just now thought of that. So just knowing that he is, knowing that God exists, is brings comfort and peace to us. And that's part of our worship. That's part of our being in awe of him, that he is. I know that you are, Lord. I need to know nothing else. You are, which means you have the whole world in your hands. That means you have control over everything. All of the good, bad, and ugly in my life. He says, fear God and keep his commandments. Yeshua says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Solomon says, if you fear God and keep his commandments, right? This is the end of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. It's the full original purpose of man's creation, the object of God's providence. It is the root of character. It is the foundation of all happiness. It is the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun. This is what we are offered. When we get tired of looking for love in all the wrong places, when we get tired of looking for fulfillment in all the wrong places, when we get tired of a transactional relationship with God that just comes up empty every time, because God desires for us to love him with no strings attached. And to follow him because we love him. In other words, follow him, read it as keep his commandments. And when I think of all of this, I remember the last comment I made Wednesday night about the message that Vodi had said. And I think it's something else that is part of our kind of to-do list. Not to do to be accepted, not to do to be loved, but to do out of a heart of gratitude. And that is to make this place where we are as much like that place, our heavenly home, as we possibly can. And when we fear God, and when we obey his commandments, that comes naturally to us. We obey his commandments because we love him, not because we want something from him. And then he equips us. He equips us to make this place like our heavenly home. And I love that several times Vodi spoke about, this is not our home. This is not our home. We have a city that is not made by the hands of God. Not made by the hands of men. It's not an earthly city. It's a city fashioned by the hand of God. That's our ultimate. Not anything here on earth. But what we can do while we are here on earth is make this place a better place by bringing the love and compassion of God into every situation. Not looking for anything for ourselves, but how we can make someone else's life easier, make someone else's life better, make someone else's life a blessing, because we have been so abundantly blessed. So it's kind of the merger of both of those messages, getting out of the mindset of Babylon and getting into the mindset of Zion, because ultimately that's what Vodi was talking about. Making this place like our heavenly home, that's a Zion mindset. And I'm sure there's a whole lot more to think about, to ponder, but that's really what I've been doing these last couple of weeks, pondering these things and then realizing that when we truly die to self, when we truly give it all to the Lord, it's not that it's an easy walk, but we have a reframed perspective of that walk. And that's what makes it a joy. And I guess that's really all I want to say. Well, and you know, it really, there are so many treasures from Genesis to Revelation. And if we take the time to just ponder God's word and do it with fresh eyes, read it with fresh eyes and a fresh perspective, he gives us his heart and he enables us to see the things that we long to see and walk in them. And like Sister Ruth always used to say, when we have that perspective, there's an ease in his glory, which means there's an ease in our lives. There's an ease in following after him, no matter what the circumstances, because we're never looking at our circumstances. We're looking at him. So Lord, that is the prayer of our hearts. That is the prayer of our hearts, Lord, that we would not look at our circumstances, that we would not look at failed relationships, that we would not look at illnesses, that we would not look at the things of this world with a Babylonian mindset, but that we would look at the things in our life through the lens, through your lens, because when we see it through your lens, Lord, there is an ease in your glory. And that's not to say we'll never have another trouble, but those troubles will be reframed. And I think of that song, turn your eyes upon Yeshua, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So that's what we do, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen.